I have observed the season of Advent, Advent has been a time to practice waiting. It is patience and quiet and a sort of restrained hope that inches toward the trumpeting joy of Christmas morning. But this year has been different. This year, starting in September, I've been practicing a different virtue every month. And it just so happens that December is the virtue of heroic perseverance. Now, heroic perseverance, far from a time of waiting, is a time of get up and go. It's a rising energy, not a grounding energy. It's very Rocky Balboa taking to the steps in Philadelphia. Heroic perseverance is about longevity, but it's also about starting a hard and long journey towards something good or beautiful, which in a way does sound like Advent, but at first blush, I felt this was going to be a very awkward and difficult Advent season, filled with clashing intentions and fuzzy outcomes. But what I found, as often happens when life gives you an opportunity to look at something known as something new, is that Advent is not only a season of waiting. It has also always been a season of raising up. If we look back over the scripture readings in the past 3 weeks, we see signs of raising at every turn. Listen to the words of Jeremiah, for example. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. And this one from the Gospel of Luke. Now, when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Baruch writes, Arise, O Jerusalem, stand upon the height. Look toward the east and see your children gathering from west and east at the word of the Holy One. And then again from Luke, He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of His servant David. In this time of Advent preparation, God calls us again and again to rise. We're called to rise so that we may see the coming glory of God, and we are called to rise that we may stand together and live as God's people. And this is most clearly true, perhaps, on this fourth Sunday of Advent, where we finally arrive at the part in the story where Mary learns she's going to bear the Son of God into the world. This is the beginning of her hero's journey, where she's invited into a grand adventure, and she steps into the unknown and the possibility and the long road of it, and says yes. She does not yet know the kind of heroic perseverance she will be called upon to display. She does not yet know that her patience will be tested, that her trip to Bethlehem will be long, and that her exodus in Egypt will be even longer. What she knows and feels is that this is the advent of a new beginning, a glorious beginning, the kind that bursts forth and springs up and demands to be shouted and shared. So she quickly hastens to visit her cousin, Elizabeth. Now, in our English translations, as we just heard, we usually read verse 39 as, In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country. It's a lovely transition. The literal Greek here is a lot bumpier, but it may be worth hearing differently this Advent. It reads, Raised up, Mary went. Raised up, Mary went. That may be awkward grammatically, but it is gospel truth. Isn't that absolutely the way the gospel happens to us and within us? We encounter this remarkable space in which we find ourselves caught up and thrown into the story of God, and we are raised up. In that moment with the angel Gabriel, in the moment she says, Let it be. Mary gets caught up and caught into the unfolding story of God, and the tide of God's story begins to rise and carry her along in rapid fashion. When she arrives at Elizabeth, Elizabeth rises to greet her and says, As soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And that word leaped means more specifically to stir with joy. It's a movement that has been likened to cattle being released from a stall, a stampede of freedom and pure happiness. You could call it a joyous uprising. And in response to this greeting, Mary sings out her song, the Magnificat, which is a story of God rising up, to bring the promised kingdom to bear on the earth at long last. This God rising in the true paradoxical fashion of Scripture requires that some are brought low. When the kingdom of God arrives, the land becomes leveled. When God arises, all things begin to be made right, and it's the most honest and real thing in the world to say that when things are made right, it might sting a little. This is not a Disney movie where things change through twinkle lights and fairy dust. Change comes often for us at a cost, and in this instance, the cost of shuffling around privileges and social standings and societal rankings is going to be a little dicey for some of us. But the part that makes this ring true in our hearts like only the gospel truth can is that Mary does not declare this in a spirit of meanness or of retribution. This is no revenge song. It is a song about the kind of world God is creating. It's a song not penned in human anger, but sung forth in God's righteousness. A new day of God is rising, and a new chapter in that long-awaited promise of God is beginning to unfold. God is intent on bringing the high low and bringing the low high, not out of spite, not out of vengefulness, but because the most important thing in the entire world is that we are meant to be together. And in our world, we are often so sadly separated by a laundry list of things that we find important, but that pale in comparison to the fact that we are all, in the end, God's children. Our highest and fullest calling is to live for God and to live for each other. This is the message from all the prophets. And let us make no mistake, Mary is raised up as a prophet. Prophets are raised up and they summon us to rise up, to cast our eyes toward a God who is coming in glory to prepare the way. Mary tells us God will fill the hungry with good things and lift up the lowly. She also declares that God's mighty arm will scatter the proud and bring down the powerful and send the rich away empty, to which many of us this year are saying, "Come quickly, Lord Jesus." But a prophet's message is always in two parts, you see. There's the part that's only God's to do, that only God can achieve. This is salvation. It's God's heavy lifting. But the prophets don't only tell us to arise and look to see the coming of God in glory. They also tell us to arise and get to work. We're less keen on this second part, generally speaking. If there's any lesson that we may be learning as a country in the past couple of years, it may be the practice of showing up when the world gets dark, persevering when the crises seem endless and the work unfruitful and hard. Mary's Magnificat has often been the rallying call for us to move to action. Far from being meek and mild, these words invoke the kind of change that threatens the status quo in favor of the kingdom of God. In our own country's history, her words were banned by slave owners who didn't want their slaves to get any ideas. And in the last 100 years alone, no less than 3 governments have banned the Magnificat from public recitation. One example, in the late 70s, Argentina was living under a military dictatorship, and the result was the Dirty War, where any dissenting voice of opposition was abducted and killed. That state-led terrorism lasted for nearly a decade, and it's estimated that nearly 30,000 people disappeared during that time. One of the first groups to organize against this regime was a group of women who became known as the Mothers of the Plaza de Mayo. After losing their children, they rose up to protest and speak out. They held weekly marches and stood defiantly in front of the Capitol. They distributed newspapers with lists of the names of the missing. And they also placed posters all throughout the plaza, emblazoned with the words of Mary's Magnificat. Many of the mothers of the Plaza de Mayo were arrested and executed for their brave defiance. But their collective power lives on to this day, as other Argentinian mothers have continued to speak out for justice under that same banner. Mary's faithfulness was fierce, you see, as is true with all the prophets, of course. We're humbled when we remember that often when we come across a prophet, we call her not blessed, but a troublemaker. That's usually an indication she's done her job well. When the Spirit of God arises within her, she points out the injustice of the unlevel playing fields that surround her and demands a leveling. We're meant to live in togetherness and unity. And yet, we are surrounded by a world in which we live as people who have fallen away and fallen apart. Mary knew this as much as anyone, knew it in the depths of her bones and in the yearning of her heart and in the fruit of her womb. She fought for it, as one whose body will bear the Christ child, and as the prophet who speaks a song of deliverance and justice. And the child she will bear shares his mother's commitment to justice. He shares her zeal for the ways of God and her passion and faith and trust. And we know that he will be the one to bring us back together, to unite us into God in a new and forever way, bonding us with him and with our Creator with such a deep love as will never be broken. He is our revolution, and he is our peace. This great leveling begins when the angel Gabriel announces to a young teenage girl that it is time for her to arise, that she, of all people, is to be the one in the world to bring the Son of the Most High God, that she is the one who is to feed him and care for him and ensure that he grows in wisdom and stature. The kind of world God is creating begins when one human girl rises up. So perhaps the gravest danger for us this Advent season is to believe that we are not worthy of such lofty revolutions. The danger is thinking that the story of brave souls doing brave things is for people other than us. I'm reminded of a prayer by the theologian Elizabeth Mottmann Wendell, who called us to repentance for the ways we reject the power of our own humanity. She prays, God, our Father and Creator, Jesus, our Brother and Redeemer, Spirit, our Mother and Comforter, forgive my self-contempt and raise me up. This is what Mary and her Magnificat can so beautifully teach us. Here is a girl who has said yes to a calling that will ask so much of her. And here is a prophet who also knows what is only God's to do. Mary is a woman of heroic perseverance, as well as a woman of faith. She embodies the truth that hides in plain sight for us across all the pages of Scripture, and particularly in this season of Advent. Faith is about waiting, and faith is also about rising up. We are incomplete without them both. Raised up, Mary went. Raised up, baby John kicks. Raised up, Jesus comes to us as a newborn child. May we trust in God this season to raise up not only a child for us, but a resurrected Savior come Easter morning. May our faith be full and our hearts be joyful. This Advent, we do wait upon God to do a mighty work. The proud cannot be scattered without God's help. The world cannot be healed of its sad divisions and unnecessary walls without the Spirit's power and guidance. But this Advent, may we also rise up to do the work God has for us to do. May we commit in this season of new beginnings to renew our faith, renew our strength, and renew our sense of purpose and perseverance, to call the mighty powers of injustice in this world to account, and to work toward a world that is level with the righteousness of God. May the Christ child be our peace, and may he also be our revolution. Amen.